Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 72, and what we're going to talk about today is a legacy of peace or a legacy of war. And I'm going to talk about some statistics today that hopefully should be eye-opening and should help us to, well, it'll disturb us probably. I know it disturbed me when I read them, and makes us ask the question, what kind of legacy are we leaving to the next generation when it comes to our foreign policy and the wars abroad? And so hopefully this will not get too political on you, but it should be a good show for you. So before we do that, though, I want to take care of some introductory business. First of all, make sure that you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, that kind of thing. If you have feedback, you'd want to get back to me on any of the episodes or just general comments of the show or what you'd like to see in the show or anything like that. The best way to do that is steve@thelegacypodcast.com. It's my email, steve@thelegacypodcast.com. Also, I want to encourage you to become a registered user of the website. This enables you to access all of the comments section. It also enables you to get all the updates to the website when they happen. So anytime a new post is made, whether it be a blog post or a video post or a podcast or anything like that, you'll be notified through email automatically. And that way you don't have to keep checking back. Of course, I encourage you to check back, but this way you can do it on your own time and you'll know when the next one's come out. So I encourage you to do that. And then also, I want to make sure that you're visiting our affiliate focuses. Our affiliate focus for today is Vision Forum. Vision Forum is a great resource for families and for churches. It's got a great deal of audio, videos, as well as tons of books dealing with the family, dealing with leaving a legacy, passing on a legacy, raising up children, discipling them in ministry, discipling them in life and faith. And marriages, all that kind of stuff. It's a great resource. They've got all kinds of great things there. They've also got a great toy section of good quality heritage type toys for children, both boys and girls, and make distinctions between the two. It's just a great resource. So check out Vision Forum. They have regular sales each time. I think they've got a good sale running right now for homeschoolers to purchase homeschool materials. So check out Vision Forum. You can do that on the center right column of the website. You can register as a user on the right column. I didn't mention that. And, of course, that's where you can also connect with us on all the various social media. And then finally, last item for introduction is if you like the show and you want to support the show, I encourage you to become a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year, and with that you have over $50 worth of value. You have discounts to various vendors, including some gardening items on there. You also have some an ebook or two that you can download, some other charts and graphs and that kind of thing. And finally, you're able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So I encourage you to take part of that and support the show. So now I want to transition now to the main focus of today's show, and that is talking about war and legacy. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to be peacemakers. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It also tells us in Psalms, where it talks about the blessings of children. We just looked at this in Psalm 128 in Sunday school this last Sunday. But it talks about the blessing of having a peace in Jerusalem and how that impacts the family and production and everything else. And there are other Psalms like that in the Scriptures where it addresses the whole concept of fathers being at home and not being away at war, how peace in a land brings prosperity. And so I felt convicted the last couple of days to address the whole issue of war and peace. We've got elections coming up, and you know, Obama ran on several different platforms, one of which was going to be able to reduce the amount of military overseas to bring home troops that are in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places, and he has done a pitiful job of that. And the escalations have occurred all over now. I think Syria is the next target, and you know, if Mitt Romney gets elected, nothing's going to change. We're going to continue to fight these wars overseas all over, and it's devastating. And, you know, the old expression is that war is hell. is true. And I want to just point out some statistics today on this show that demonstrate the tragedy of war and how war can devastate not only the nations involved, but the whole globe and what takes place with that. You know, the Bible tells us that the enemy does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And unfortunately, I believe that's what we're doing with our military overseas, is that we are stealing, killing, and destroying. And I want to ask, just to begin with this episode, is what kind of legacy do we want to leave our children? Do we want to leave a nation that is known for its war? Or do we want to leave a nation that is known for its peace? Do we want to leave a legacy where children are brought up in a situation where they are having to pay exorbitant amounts for everything because of the cost of war? So let's look at some of these statistics. And many of these statistics are going to come from a website called costsofwar.org. It's a nonpartisan, independent organization out of Brown's University. And it's a research team that has centered around the concept of trying to develop a baseline for determining how much the wars have cost not only the United States, but other countries around the globe. Particularly when I speak of wars, I speak of the wars of the last 10 years, starting with 2001, the Iraqi war, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and now, you know, Iran, Syria, whatever else we decide to go into. And some of the statistics are staggering. You can go on there and look, and I'll put, of course, a link in the show notes to this organization. And you can read some of the information that they have available there on their website. But I just want to emphasize a few of the statistics that they have articulated through their study. The first thing is that, you know, you've probably heard on the news somewhere that the United States has really only lost about 6,000 of its armed servicemen and women in the conflicts over the last decade. And that's a staggering number in itself, especially if you are the mother or the father or the brother or sister or aunt or uncle or husband or wife of one of those 6,000 who has given their life. But what's even more so staggering is that that 6,000 is a number that is far less than the total of impact from these wars. And just for an example, the disability toll of soldiers is astronomical, and it is increasing all the time. It's now, I believe, over 600,000 who have applied for disability as a result of war injuries. And so 6,000 deaths and over 600,000 who have applied for disability. And I ask the question, who's going to pay for that? Is that going to be taxpayers that are paying for that? Is that going to be printed away money that causes inflation? We look at the number of 6,000 and we think, well, that's, you know, although it's significant for those who certainly were close to these people, but that number seems kind of far off and doesn't seem like a real battle injury type or battle conflict numbers. But listen to this. At least 138,000 civilians have been killed in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan as a result of the fighting, the hands of these different conflicts. And that's not just U.S. soldiers. That's both sides of the conflict, all sides of the conflict, all parties involved. And in case you think there's a good side and a bad side, there's multiple sides to all of these wars. And as a result of that, 138,000 civilians have been killed. You know, I want us to think for a moment about how much that can impact the people around them. You know, each one of those persons represents a family, represents a business, represents a part of society. And they certainly did not ask for this. And, you know, we might look at this and some of the hard-line right-wing people look at it and say, well, we've got to fight terrorism. We've got to be able to put, you know, stamp out radical Islam and radical terrorism and all these kinds of things. Well, what did those 138,000 people have to do with any of that? And there's an argument out there saying, well, yeah, but some of those may have been, you know, disguised as civilians, but they're really not. And so, you know, they were really on the other side and some of that. I don't believe any of that. I believe there's 138,000 individuals that no longer have their life because of the conflicts of war. Putting together the conservative numbers of war dead in uniform and out, it brings the total to 236,000. It's almost a quarter million people who have died as a result of these conflicts. Now, if you go back to World War II and World War I, there were certainly a lot more killed in those wars than during these conflicts. And yet that number is still far, far too high. And it's devastating, especially when you consider the modern technology that we have in combat today and how, you know, many of our armed forces don't really even, you know, go into combat till much of the threat has gone away. And then they go in and, of course, then they have to encounter all different kinds of bombers and roadside bombs and all this kind of stuff. You know, the indirect deaths from war. Now, this is those deaths that are related as a result of starvation and as a result of misplacement. You know, if a place is blown up and their water is no longer sanitary, then it results in deaths from unsanitary water. And, you know, so there's a lot of unintended consequences. There's a lot of destruction that takes place that relates to many of these deaths and many of these war tolls. And that number, most people estimate to be about 4 to 1. So for every one person dead, there's 4 that die as a result, indirectly as a result of the wars. So that means that that's approaching the 1 million mark of others who have died, not directly as a result of bombings or bullets or anything like that, but have died as a result of contamination or as a result of insufficient water or lack of food or, you know, displacement or poor weather or whatever it might be that was a indirect cause of the destruction from these wars. Over 1 million people or nearing 1 million people. The wars have been accompanied by erosion of civil liberties at home and human rights violations abroad. I mean, all you have to do in the United States now is to try to go to the airport and go through the TSA checkouts. Now, of course, that was a result of the Patriot Act, which was anything but patriotic. It was a result of the Patriot Act that was designed to try to prevent terrorists from attacking again on an airplane, even though most people believe that they wouldn't attack again on an airplane. They would do something else if they were going to do anything. And so it's a grab for power as a result of the conflicts of 2011 or 2001. what has been a result of some of this is that now we live in a society where our freedoms are taken away. And anytime there is war, it gives the government the upper hand, and they then think that it's their right, or their privilege, their obligation to maintain order. And the only way they know of maintaining order is to take away freedoms. And if that is occurring here in the United States, can you imagine what is taking place in other countries that are nearer to the war-torn areas on the globe? And so the erosion of civil rights is certainly there as well. And then the human and economic costs of these wars, it says, will continue to continue for decades. Some costs now are not peaking until the middle of the century. So, you know, we're not going to be able to see the full ramifications of all the destruction and all the costs that are associated with these wars until way into the future, well into the time and beyond the time that we are going to be able to actually come to grips with it. Many of the war's costs are invisible to Americans, buried in a variety of budgets, and so they have not really been accounted or assessed. For example, while most people think that the Pentagon war appropriations are equivalent to the war's budgetary costs, the true numbers are twice that, and the full economic costs of the war are much larger yet. And get this, the conservative estimates are that the war bills already paid and obligated to be paid are $3.2 trillion in constant dollars, or a more reasonable estimate puts the number at $4 trillion. Now, that number is too difficult for us to really gather. In fact, I tried to do it on a couple of my calculators, and my calculators really wouldn't even go up that high. They couldn't calculate it out. And so I had to resort to other means to be able to do it. But what that comes out to be, to put it into more reasonable terms, is if it comes out to be between $10,000 and $11,000 per person in the United States is what that has cost us. So I have a family of seven. That means it costs $70,000 to $80,000. If you were to take $70,000 to $80,000 of our wealth, that's what has been spent so far on these wars. And I ask, what has been the result other than death and destruction? Are we any safer? No, we're not any safer. Have we been able to create more democracy and more republic forms of government across the globe where there is more peace and prosperity and more economic development? No. And so I ask, what has been our legacy? The ripple effect of the U.S. economy has been significant, including job losses, interest rate increases, and those effects have really been underreported. We still have not even begun to see the consequences of the printing of money that has taken place over the last 10 years. And for those of you who think it was just under the Obama administration, it was under the Bush administration as well. Both of them have skyrocketed the amount of money that has been printed. As with all wars, the costs of paying for veterans' care into the future will be a sizable portion of the full costs of the war. So, in other words, the $4 trillion that has been appropriated or that has been spent already on these wars is insignificant compared to the amount of obligations that will be there for veterans that are coming home with one leg or coming home with no legs or coming home with post-traumatic syndrome or coming home with all kinds of other problems that are associated with these wars that now the taxpayer, the American citizen, is going to be on the hook to pay for, maybe for the rest of their lives, because of the disability claims and because of all of the other veterans' care that is required. And it was promised that the U.S. invasions would bring democracy to both countries, Afghanistan and Iraq, and both continue to rank low in global rankings of political freedom. With warlords continuing to hold power in Afghanistan with U.S. support, and Iraq communities more segregated today than they were by gender and ethnicity as a result of the war. So, have we accomplished any good thing as a result of these wars? And I ask any of you to comment back to this podcast with any kind of description of something positive that has developed as a result of these wars. I believe that we'd be hard-pressed to find them. We should not be a people of war. We should be a people of peace. What should have been, now we should have known this was coming, obviously, with the government trying to continue to get into involvement in all different kinds of foreign affairs and doing all the things that they do. Government never seems to accomplish anything that it sets out to do. And so if the government tried to set out to establish peace in the Middle East, we know that there is only going to be war. And so when they set out to accomplish more Republican democratic type forms of government in Iraq and Afghanistan, these kinds of things, we know they're going to fail. When they go to set out to establish, maintain, an established government or anything like that, they're going to fail. And so it's not surprising that they failed. And yet what surprises me is that there are very few Christians speaking out against the war. Now, I'm not going to say that that means that we should be like during the period during Vietnam where soldiers that came back from Vietnam were mistreated and spat upon and treated with disrespect. I'm not saying we should do that and we should support the troops. It's not them who are commanding the troops and ordering men and women to go in to try to do all these things. It's from the higher ups. It's from the powers that be, the Congress, and from presidents, and from generals, and from others that are outside even the military departments who are controlling the economies and the things of global scale. It's these who are requiring our men and women to serve in various armed forces and put their life and limb in danger. And for what cause? I'm going to close this podcast basically the way that I started. And I know this is a little bit different than my normal ones, but this is just bugging me, and I have to get the word out. Because my concern is that particularly as Christians, we tend to fall on the side of, you know, right-wing Republicans in many ways. And as a result of that, you know, we're all gung-ho military and gung-ho go to war and, you know, share democracy all around. I mean, I think of Santorum and how he was so adamant on bombing Iraq and Iran and all these other kinds of things. And that seems to be the standard for Christians across the globe today, or at least in the United States. And I think that we need to take a different perspective. And so I want to ask ourselves, what kind of legacy are we going to leave? 30 years from now, are we still going to be in war? Fighting all over different kinds of fronts all over the globe? Are we still going to be pouring out $4 trillion, $10 trillion? What's it going to take, $25, $50 trillion of debt in order to pay for all these campaigns that we're going to be going on? Are we going to be able to bring our troops home? Are we going to be able to stop the wars? Are we going to stop the intervention and the meddling in other people's affairs? What are we going to do? Are we going to be a people of peace? Or are we going to be a people of war? Are our children and grandchildren going to be drafted into the military to go off to some foreign land and to die on the battlefields for what? No, we need to be a people. We leave a legacy of peace. You know, it's interesting that Switzerland has been neutral in every war. They have been a people who have intentionally required themselves to not meddle in the affairs of others. You see, we don't have to go to war. Switzerland has not been bombed. Switzerland does not have terrorist attacks. Switzerland does not have people trying to tear down their buildings or strike down their buildings with bombs, planes. They're not having to go overseas and fight for oil and subsidies and all these kinds of stuff. They've decided to take a course of peace, neutrality. And that's the kind of legacy that I believe we need to be leading as Americans. So my question is, what are you going to do today to lead a legacy of peace? What can you do today? Well, first of all, you can pray for peace. But what good is prayer if we do not back it up with action? And so secondly, we must vote out all the politicians who are voting for war. We must require a constitutional declaration of war if we're going to put our military troops into war. We must stop funding all the warmongering that is taking place across the globe. We must bring our troops home. We must be willing to say no to the congressmen and the presidents who are taking our money and using it to create chaos and to create military coups and everything else across the globe. And so I'm asking you to take some steps so that we might be a people of peace and not a people of war. With that, I know it's a little bit somber note, but this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast. helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
Who believe that the world would still be changed by just